Welcome to the Double R Show, the podcast that features everything about North Lincoln County. The Double R Show, directed and produced by Paul Robertson and hosted by the voice of Lincoln City, Roger Robertson.
Dr. Mylise Tolan is our next guest on the podcast, and we're very pleased to have her back. She was here earlier in the month and asked for her return visit to talk about the doors are about to open, bells are beginning to ring. It's an exciting time for the schools, is it not?
There's a lot of exciting times, but I think when students come back for the year, when staff come back for the year, when the families are at open house, when all the fall sports are kicking back off, I think that's a very exciting time for the school system and to be a part of it. And then the other one is graduation. I think that week of graduation.
Both ends.
You know, when you're celebrating so much hard work, you're celebrating 13 years of academics for these students and for their teachers and for their families. And so I think when you celebrate that right and you realize how many people play a part in that graduation, that's a huge time. But it doesn't happen if you don't kick the year off well and if you don't have that exciting beginning. So I'm looking forward to just seeing all the students in a couple days and getting ready to go from there.
Anything new and different that will be taking place this year versus years gone by, or is it pretty much the same?
Yeah, I think I would say that it's pretty much the same. I think one of the benefits of when you're able to do internal hirings, you keep the same continuous improvement plan going. You keep the same structures in place and the same academic plans for our students. And so I think that that's great. You know, we do have some new administrators across the district. And so they come on early. They actually started August 1 is when they all were back. Sure. They work in July, but they were all officially back together starting August 1. And so having that opportunity to bring them on board and learn more about us and then also benefiting from expertise they're bringing from outside of Lincoln County is a great and exciting time.
You recruit heavily as much as possible from within, though, correct?
We recruit externally.
Okay.
I think it is important whenever we can to also post externally so that we can learn new ideas and bring in new ideas to the county as well. But with that being said, we also love to grow our own staff from classified moving into certified.
That's huge.
Yeah, we have former students that work for us now, even since I've been in Lincoln County. And so I think you have to have a great balance in an organization to keep an organization healthy and growing. Mm-hmm. Internal growth is fantastic, but external growth brings its own ability to see new perspectives and learn new ideas to grow your organization.
Stuff-a-Bus is going to be one of the activities that we will be underway with come September 1. How important is the community involvement in the schools to you?
Lincoln County is phenomenal with its involvement. Every one of our areas has a different niche, you know, that they bring mm-hmm. and a different mm-hmm. strength and love for their students. And in North County and Lincoln City specifically, just from the 15 years I have been here too, and having started my career in the North, Stuff-a-Bus is a pretty awesome day. The staff would be in the staff meeting. We would all leave so we could help unload this gigantic bus of school supplies that the community just really rallies around. I just had gotten an email from Kiwanis actually saying, are there any specifics? Is there a way we can target what we truly know that the schools need? And so I think having organizations that don't just want to help, but they want to target help in exact ways that it's needed is really huge in supporting a school and a community.
And it's an ongoing process. It doesn't just happen as the school bells begin to ring. It's a year-round activity, right?
It is absolutely a year-round activity. And I know from experience as an administrator up here that I could call and say, hey, we are really short on pencils. As silly as that might seem, it's a huge, huge need mm-hmm. in the schools to have paper and pencils and that we can give to the students so that they aren't going without. And I never remember a call that wasn't met with what we asked for and more. And I think there's also a responsibility on the school side of that, too. When you have people willing to give, you also need to make sure that you are accepting and you're asking for what you need,
sure,
and not
sure
overtaxing people that are so generous and so eager to support.
So what are the requirements for an individual like myself coming from the outside to volunteer at the schools? Is there some hoops I got to jump through or what?
Definitely there are some hoops you want to jump through. So you want to start with your building front office, any of the schools in the area. You can also go to the Lincoln County School District website. There's a background check. There's Safe Schools Vector online training that you go through so that you understand things to look for. We take that very seriously with child abuse prevention. Exactly. We also have a new district volunteer coordinator because there are so many people that want to help, but the schools are so busy also helping the students that are in it that we now have a position that will be able to match eager volunteers across the district in areas that they might be interested in. I was at AAUW and they were talking about a woman who really wants to help with school gardening. And so now we have school gardens, we're expanding to the north, and we are able to start to match and help get them ready to be a volunteer and then have volunteers feel supported. It's a big thing when you go and volunteer, and you want to make sure that the volunteers are supported just as much as the students in the classroom who are receiving help from the volunteers.
In your experience, do you find this to be the same district over district, or is this a phenomenon here in Lincoln County?
You know, I've been in two other districts and they also had their niches. They were great.
Okay.
But I will say in Lincoln County, the amount of organizations who reach out and want to support the schools is just absolutely incredible. It's very humbling when we have requests, knowing that we're going to be able to have them met, but also not anything to take for granted. So I appreciate how different Kiwanis events or music instrumental events, you see our staff there too, and
sure,
they don't have to be there, but they're also invested in their community outside of their classroom. And I think that that is very special. I think the county really wraps around its teachers and around its administrators and supports them. And that makes for a healthy, you know, organization and system.
Does that surprise you, that ongoing support?
It doesn't surprise me now because I've been here, but I think that, but I will say when I first got here, I was pretty surprised by the number of people that, well, even you, Roger, like, do you want to join Kiwanis? Do you want to come in and be involved in this? When Jake got laid off during budget cuts and then we had to move out of the rental house because they lost their home and we didn't know where we were going to live. Kip Ward's like, hey, I've got a place. And I know that wasn't just a me thing, that they really wrap around educators. We get emails to the district office saying, do you have a teacher who's looking for a house? We have an opening before we put it on the market. We'll have that out there. And so just
that's
knowing,
critical.
It is critical. And just knowing that we have a community who thinks about its schools when it has resources, whether we can accept them or not, or whether they're needed at the time or not, knowing that the schools and its educators are on the minds of the community makes for a really great place to work.
Any special need that you would like to address at this point in time as we close out this interview?
Not necessarily. I will just kind of, as to the stuff about the email that I sent back to Kiwanis, TAF 712 is always in need of headphones. I know that sounds really weird, but they're AirPods that a lot of the kids have. They don't work when we're using them for our Chromebook and our educational videos and things that they might be watching with their textbooks that are mostly online now. Mr. Lupo brought up pencils and then the heavy use of composition notebooks. So we use interactive notebooks where kids are learning how to annotate their notes that they're taking and use them as a resource. And so they go through quite a few of those. So when you're out shopping around, getting ready for stuff of us, those are great things to bring.
Dr. Miley Stolen, back in a moment.
Opportunities abound on the Central Oregon coast. Chinook Winds is hiring right now for entry-level and career positions. Visit us at chinookwinds.com to learn more about jobs in hospitality, security, slot technology, food and beverage, culinary arts, and more. Joining the Chinook Winds team means advancement potential, low-cost health coverage, free on-shift meals, free gym membership, and competitive pay. Don't miss our hiring event Saturday, September 23rd, upstairs in the Chinook Winds Convention Center from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Be ready to interview on the spot. All successful applicants are eligible for a $1,500 signing bonus. So polish up your resume and come to Chinook Winds Convention Center Saturday, September 23rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for our hiring event. Chinook Winds Casino Resort in Lincoln City, where careers are better at the beach.
Hey, it's Jesse Geller with the Beach Club and Event Center. Need a few more reasons to stop on by? We're now offering Taco Tuesdays and Italian Wednesdays. If you need a space to rent, we're your people. We're located at 2020 Northeast 22nd Street in Lincoln City.
North Lincoln County has a number of educational opportunities for children, and one of those that we've not had a good opportunity to visit with about is right here in Lincoln City at the Episcopal Church. And with me is Julie Fiedler. Your official title with the school is?
They call me the director.
They call you the director.
But sometimes the principal, and sometimes the head of school, and sometimes Julie.
Usually Julie.
This school that is here at St. James Episcopal Church is a magical place for children.
Yeah, parents seem to think so. We think so. The kids really love coming to school here as well.
And we're talking about children of what age and how many?
So we have a K through 8 school. This year we don't have any 8th graders, so we're officially a K through 7 school. And this year we have 66 students.
That's quite a growth since you began with 0.
Well, we began with 8, and we've just sort of grown organically over the years.
What's the magic of it?
The magic of it is that we ask students to be really, really involved in school, and they get really hooked into what makes the school run. They develop great relationships with each other, with their teachers. We take them on adventures around the town. We try to get them very self-motivated about their learning. And the magic is that learning is magic. Learning is where it's at.
So 66 students, and how big is the faculty at the school?
This year we have 11 faculty members, if you include me, and then an administrative assistant as well. So we have 5-6 kind of classroom teachers who are here most of the day. And then we have teachers who come in periodically to teach art, drama, music, science. We actually have a science teacher this year, so we're really excited about that.
The program itself is funded how, Julie?
It's funded through tuition. So parents do pay tuition. And then donors from the community also help us out with about the last 10% of the budget that comes from donations.
And you have a rather substantial budget, or is it a bit austere?
It's always been austere. We run the school on a shoestring. And one reason we can do that is because of the generosity of the church. So the church considers the school an educational outreach. They've worked with students in the past, so we knew it would be a good fit for a school because the congregation really cares about how students learn and how learning works in the community. So they give us space. They helped us raise funds for the building that we're in, the new classroom building we're in. They take care of our insurance. They take care of a lot of costs that we essentially couldn't run the school on tuition alone.
For those parents that are thinking to themselves, well, this is going to be a religious school then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by our name, you would think so. But we don't really do any specific religious training. We do uphold the values of the Episcopal Church, which are all about inclusion and supporting and caring about each other. But we don't do any specific religious training. That's not that we avoid the topic particularly. And, you know, we have a priest who comes to our music classes or reads to the kids. We do plays in a sanctuary. And so kids, I think, kind of naturally learn about church as a sacred place, but they don't have to ascribe to a particular denomination. We also talk about religion in other cultures because we do world studies each year. And so we learn about how religion works in other countries.
Frequently, we will see the students and the faculty, obviously, walking down 101. What's that all about?
Well, we think that kids need to really learn about their community and feel comfortable in their community. And we think Lincoln City is a pretty fascinating place and that we're in a pretty fascinating location. We're kind of right in the middle of the city, but we're in a kind of wooded hilltop. Behind us, there's parks, there's churches, there's a community center, there are neighborhoods, there are schools. And we want the kids to really feel comfortable moving through that environment and meeting people in that environment.
And as you begin the new school year, there's a lot of construction.
There is. Right next door to us, there's a great big workforce housing development going in, which we're really excited about because this city needs workforce development housing. And so that's been a fascinating process for us to watch the woods next to us go down. We have a lot more wind up here now. I have an ocean view from my office that I didn't have before, and there's just been a lot of construction and a lot of people, and we're about to get, I don't know, 300 or 400 new neighbors before the end of next year.
Is that a disturbance, or does it supplement the educational process?
Oh, I think all of it. We've talked to the folks at Innovative Housing. They've come in and presented to the students. The students are learning a lot about machinery and how how could you not learn? I've learned a ton just watching it all go up and how fast it's gone up in the most recent phase. It's really exciting.
If there is a need for the school right now, that would be what, Julie?
Oh, man. You know, the school is in really good shape right now. We're in good financial shape. We always need input from the community in terms of donations and help. That just never goes away. But it's been 10 years. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary last spring. And for the last several years, we've been really holding our own and managing well.
You said there's 66 students. Is there a cap?
There most definitely is a cap. I mean, space is probably the top issue. Where are we going to put the next group of students and how are we going to reconfigure to make all that work? But, you know, we've done it now for 10 years, and we are an extremely creative and flexible bunch. So I know we're going to make it work.
And need-wise, if people wanted to volunteer and come up and help, can they do that?
They can, but I have a whole line of parents that would like to do that. And, you know, we can only manage so many volunteers. We already have a lot of adults around here with 11 or 12 adults running around the place sometimes. We ask parents to do things like drive on field trips. So that's a place we need volunteers. But we generally have parents do that because they really, really want to go along on a field trip. And then parents do a lot of volunteering around our spring fundraiser, which is our major fundraiser of the year.
And that spring fundraiser, what happens?
Typically, when we can, we try to feature a musical or performance group about the part of the world that we're studying that year. So this year we're studying Africa, and we had some performers from Obo Adi come and perform at the Cultural Center. So we try to do a big concert, and we try to invite the entire community to that concert because that just furthers our educational process for the year.
I've seen the programs listening to the children in various forms in the 10 years, and it seems like the program is coordinated for all age groups all together. Is that true?
You know, that used to be the case. We threw, like, we would do a play and all the kids would get involved. But now we have just too many kids. And so we typically do two plays a year, one around the holiday season and then one in the spring. Of course, during COVID, we couldn't do that. And so we jumped into filmmaking. We had Patrick Alexander come and film the students doing plays that they'd practice. You know, that's been a challenge, is us adapting to the idea that we're not all one all the time. So we try to mix things up and combine groups and try different ways of doing things.
Your school year, your school term follows the Lincoln County School District calendar as well?
Sure, it absolutely does. We have students with siblings in the public school system. We have educator parents who send their students here, and so we try to keep all those holidays and everything straight.
The principal, not the marm, but the principal, the head teacher, Julie Fiedler, St. James Episcopal Church, Santiago School, correct?
Yes, St. James Santiago. We do a little bit of Spanish teaching here at school, at least to keep students a little bit familiar with Spanish. That was a new name the church had come up with because they adopted a Latino Spanish-speaking community, another congregation. So we have two congregations here, so we wanted to reflect that happening here at school, too.
More in a moment.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your insurance needs handled by one agency? This is Charlotte Lado with Farmers Insurance and the Insurance Store. Visit our office next to the Wildflower Grill in Lincoln City. Let us be your one stop for your personal, commercial, health, and Medicare insurance needs.
If you're looking for great early garden fresh produce, it's Kenny's IGA in the Bay Area of Lincoln City. Four generations of Morgans caring for your every grocery need. All of your favorite beverages, a full deli, meat, produce, and of course, groceries.
Northwest Septic Service is your one-stop shop for all your septic needs.
Northwest Septic Service offers pumping, maintenance, repair, and inspections with one call, 541-994-6977.
Buying or selling a home? Northwest Septic Service can inspect your sewer line or an entire septic system.
Old or failing septic system? Northwest Septic Service can rejuvenate most drain fields, saving you thousands of dollars. 541-994-6977.
Serving Lincoln, Tillamook, and Yamhill counties, Northwest Septic Service.
Donna Cito is the office manager and the registrar for CareerTech in Lincoln City. This is a marvelous opportunity for students to have an alternative education. Is it not, Donna?
It is. I'm also the art teacher. I guess I didn't say that. But we are a certified charter high school, fully accredited, and students come in and they earn the same 24 credits they earn anywhere else. And it's just a very small, low-stress environment. A lot of students feel a lot of anxiety in the bigger environments, and they come over here and just kind of breathe and can work at their own pace a lot more.
When you talk about smaller student population, we're talking about how many students here, Donna?
I think we're looking at starting with around 34 this year. We usually serve 40 to 50 on an average. Some years are lower, some years are higher. Some students, I've got a few that are graduating as juniors. They can work at their own pace. I've got some students, they can be here until they're 21, and sometimes they need that amount of time in order. I've had students leave for a year or two and think they're going to go out in the world and then decide that maybe I do need my diploma and come back. And like I said, they have till they're 21 in order to complete that.
And the students get the same educational opportunities as if they were in the high school, correct?
I have to remember that people aren't going to see me nodding. Yes, they do. And again, it's fully credited. It's the exact same diploma they would get in another school.
The music program you were talking about before we went on the air, tell me about that.
Well, we have Jason Nelson is a Lincoln Pops orchestra performer. A saxophone, I believe, is his primary instrument, but he's pretty multi-talented. And he's our music teacher, also one of our math teachers and one of our lead teachers. He teaches drums, guitar, saxophone, keyboard. He finds a way, I think, to help a student learn just about anything that they want to, including music production.
So the students, enrollment-wise, are already enrolled for the term beginning in September.
Ideally. We still get some at the last minute, but yes, I'm still processing. But yeah, we've got about 22 returning from last year. And then we've just added, I think, another dozen to that number.
So when a student, the process includes what? Well, what do they do?
We have several processes to enroll in our school. They do online registration on the district website. And then they go to our website, and there's an enrollment procedure that they follow. Because we're a small school, we want them to have a little skin in the game. If they want to be here, they need to kind of jump through some hoops. So each student is required to write two essays. 250-word essays. They need to be typed and submitted. One is, why do you want to come to Career Tech? And then they have two options for the second. One is, if I could change something in my life, what would it be and why? The other would be, what do I want to do with my life? So they have to pick one of those two plus the first one. There are two letters of recommendation that they need to have filled out. They're like a pre-printed form by non-family adults. I don't want grandma telling me how wonderful her grandson or granddaughter is. I need something impartial. And there's a policy manual there to read, and then the last page of that is an exam they fill out and return with the other paperwork.
So it's pretty intense to get into the school.
It's a simulated workplace environment. We want them to think in terms of, this isn't just school, this is your job. Until you have your diploma, this is your primary job. Now, we do have students that will work part-time while they're attending school, and they can earn up to 2 full credits for work experience. But this, in our minds, and the way we want our students to consider it, this is their number one job.
Is there a commonality, if you will, of the students of why they come to Career Tech?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, most of them really don't work well in the larger populations. They want more individual attention. Some students, we do a hybrid of online classes and in-person classes. They are here, they are required to be here 5 days a week, but they're working on both, which is a good prep for college if they plan on going that way. Some students have found themselves in the Compass program, and that works really well for some students, but some need more one-on-one individual teacher participation so they can do more one-on-one classes here.
We're talking with Donna Cito with the Career Tech here in Lincoln City. If a student is enrolled here at Career Tech, can they take classes up at the high school or participate in football or volleyball or this type of thing?
Traditionally, they have been able to continue with sports and some programs over there. It really depends on the principal of the high school. As long as I've been here, we've been through a few of them over there. Some have been more amenable to that than others, but overall, sports programs particularly, they have to keep their grades up here just like they do over there. And the main high school will request copies of transcripts at grade breaks. Also, we serve the same special ed students that they're overseen by the main high school, but we're able to serve special ed students over here as well.
Is there a cost to the students to go to Career Tech?
No, it's paid for. It's a public high school, basically, but it's also a charter school. We have a lot of grants also that support us.
Grants from all over the community, outside of the community?
Outside of the community. We're parented at the moment by Community Services Consortium out of Corvallis, Albany, and they apply for a lot of grants for us. And a lot of them are science-based grants. That leads into something else. We have science crews. The woman that you just saw walking through here that the audience didn't see was Michelle Rogers. She's our crew leader, and last year she had a botany crew, an ecology crew, and a habitat restoration crew. And those, she takes her groups, they're usually on an average of six, off-site on particular days of the week, and they're out in the wilderness or out doing wetland restoration, learning about the environment, learning about sciences that way. And they also get some English credit because they have to write about things, and they're out tromping around in the woods a lot.
As we are about to run out of time, again, if somebody wants to enroll in Career Tech, the process is?
Go to the Lincoln County School District website, register online for Career Tech Charter High School, and then go to careertech.us online and follow the protocols for the enrollment on the enrollment tab.
Silly question. I would assume that there are opportunities to volunteer to help Career Tech.
Some, yeah. Some tutoring occasionally, but we're pretty self-contained.
Very good. Donna Cito, and again, she is the office manager, registrar, and art teacher for Career Tech, fourth floor, City Hall, Lincoln City. Back in a moment.
I'm Adina Zeller. Zeller's is now in two North Lincoln County locations, the original Zeller's in Rose Lodge, and now Zeller's in Lincoln City, formerly Maxwell's. Zeller's with great family food and kick and fun, like our line dancing. Just wait until you try our homemade clam chowder.
I'm Bruce Polley, reminding you to be prepared. We have a variety of life-saving go kits in stock at Lincoln City Sporting Goods, your electronic superstore in the heart of Lincoln City.
Well, we certainly hope that you've enjoyed our back-to-school special. Our special thanks go out to Mylise Tolan, superintendent of the Lincoln County School District, Donna Cito from Career Tech, and Julie Fiedler, St. James Episcopal Church, Santiago School, for joining us and talking about back-to-school. We remind you, bells are going to be ringing, buses are going to be running. Please drive careful. And as we get ready for back to school, help us stuff a bus on Friday. Friday from 8 until 6, we'll be at the Lincoln City Outlets. It's Stuff a Bus on September 1, 8 until 6. Your opportunity to bring in school supplies, clothing, shoes, whatever a student may need to help them become successful in the forthcoming year. And for the upcoming month, city meetings do include the Planning Commission on September 5. On September 6, we have the Library Board meeting, City Council at 6 p.m. September 11th. September 19th is the Planning Commission, Parks and Rec September 20, and the City Council again on September 25. Remember, these are open meetings. They are available for you to attend and participate in. The Legion Club will be meeting post number 47, reconnecting military veterans and families together. They meet the first Tuesday of each month, high noon, at Hilltop Family Inn. Any veterans encouraged to attend. And it has been a musical week here in Lincoln City, and it's far from being over. We have September 1, the Chinook Winds Benefit Dinner Dance. That's at 6:30. On September 2nd is the free family concert at the Ricotta Park at Chinook Winds at 7:30. Again on September 2nd, a night at the Symphony. And the concluding event will be Sounds of the Americas, Sunday, September 3rd, 4 o'clock at Chinook Winds. It is a marvelous, marvelous venue for good music. Other activities forthcoming to put on your calendar, and remember, October 3rd, we have the Senior Fair up at Chinook Winds at the Convention Center. November 17th, On Stage Alaska. And December 2nd, it's the Angels Ball, again at Chinook Winds. Theater West on stage with a delightful comedy. Don't miss it. The Theater West play goes until September 9th. It's Popcorn Falls. And that will do to the doings on a Double R Show. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share so you, your family, around the world and across the street can join us on the Double R Show. For Paul Jetta, I'm Double R. Have yourself a happy day.
You've been listening to The Double R Show. Join Roger and Paul Robertson as they explore everything about North Lincoln County. The Double R Show, produced by Always Productions and hosted by Roger Robertson. Have a story? Email contact@alwaysproductions.com or call 458-201-3039. For The Double R Show, I'm Jana Gron.